God's good, amen? I am so grateful for your presence this morning. I want to thank Robbie and Ryan for covering for me this past week or so. Had some rough days, and so when I don't feel good enough to preach, I'm having some trouble. Preachers are very possessive. Of course, I trust Robbie and Ryan. I'm never worried about being gone, but because God's called you to preach, that's what you want to do. You want to preach. But
as you know, I am getting older, and these issues with my neck don't go away, and age has not helped. Your Bible's open to 1 Corinthians. You know, we did this series, and we did it, and I'm moving on now, but we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but we did a series last month, or really in 2 months. We were in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we were in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and we were talking about giving, being stewards, biblical stewards, whether you're talking about stewards of your time, stewards of your talents, stewards of your monies, and that all of life, the Bible requires us to be faithful stewards. It is required of stewards that one be found faithful. We manage God's household. He has saved us. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. He's called us. He's called us into stewardship. So we talked about that for several weeks, but I want to stay in 1 and 2 Corinthians for the month of November and talk to you a little bit about what's related to being called. Now, using Paul as an example, you have his conversion is described, and this should be very important to all of us because of what the New Testament teaches about Paul's conversion. In Acts chapter 9, it describes Paul's conversion. He mentioned a little bit of that when he was defending his stance and pleading for his innocence, the Jews trying to prosecute him when he was standing before King Agrippa. And he mentions the events of on the road to Damascus, that at noonday, when the sun was at its height, there was a light brighter than the sun that struck him down. And if you listen to it, you know, Christ spoke to him. And one of the most interesting things, or one of the many things that's interesting to me, is exactly what Paul says Jesus said to him. You know, he spoke to Paul and said, and Paul heard this. Now, a lot of those around him saw the light, but they didn't hear a lot of the conversation. But he says, "Saul, Saul," and that's Saul, that's his name before Paul, God changed it. Jesus is going to change it to Paul. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute," what did he say? "Me." So, now just want you to think, you know, when we talk about the work of the church and we say that we are the body of Christ, many members but yet one body, that is an affirming word that reminds us that that's a truth, because Jesus said to Saul, he didn't say, "Why are you persecuting them? Why are you persecuting the church? Why are you persecuting believers?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" I love that, because we are the body of Christ. And I mentioned to the Sunday school class this morning, you know, we're fixing to celebrate the Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, where God became a man, the incarnation. And in many ways, God is still incarnate. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Christ is not here in His flesh, is He? No. But He is still here in His body, called the church. So, this is what the book of Acts tells us, is that we, as believers, are going to flesh out the life of Christ. We do that because of what happened to Paul has happened to us. The Bible says that God saved Paul and has appointed him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. has appointed him. He called him. He called out and called him to salvation, and then he called him and appointed him to the ministry of the gospel. Just like I think about the disciples. Jesus prayed overnight, then he gets up and he walks by the Sea of Galilee, and he calls out to these fishermen, and he calls them and says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says they dropped their nets and they followed him. God has also called you. God has also called me. He not only called me to salvation, but when he saved me and he called me to save me, he called me to follow him. Folks, those things go together. You know, years and years ago, there's this big theological argument in the Protestant churches about lordship salvation. And there was this weird doctrine that said you could accept Jesus as Savior, but not accept him as Lord, which violates the very name of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is Savior and Master and Anointed One. So we don't come to Jesus and accept him today, not so we won't go to hell, so we don't go to hell, but then down the road we might accept him as Lord. Well, when you came to Christ, he called you, he saved you, he called you. It was a powerful call. It was a purposeful call. He called you unto salvation. Jesus is talking about this in John 17. He says, you know, you gave them, you called, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, you gave them to me. You called them to me, and I have kept them. So he calls us to salvation. But when we're saved, the Bible says that he calls us into ministry. I know it's a little bit confusing when I did this because I couldn't follow up on it like I should have. Was remember when we did the Shroud of Turin? I know it was only up there for a minute or two. We did a senior adult thing and they got to see it a little bit more up close. But one of the things that I think about Lazarus, I'm going to make it make sense. So you have the Shroud of Turin, which we suppose to be the burial cloth of Christ, which whether it is or not, I'm saved by Christ, and I don't trust a cloth, but it is interesting if you ever want to study the Shroud of Turin. But Lazarus, when Lazarus came out, you know, Jesus called him out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. And it says, and Lazarus came forth out of the tomb. And do you remember what Jesus also had to say about Lazarus once he got out of the tomb? He said, loose him and let him free. And part of that was he probably was bound at his knees and around his head to keep his mouth from coming open. You know, as the body decays, things happen. So loose him and let him go. And I think about our call. Spiritually speaking, our call is just like that. He brought you from death to life. He called you unto himself in salvation. You didn't save yourself. You didn't choose him. The Bible says he chose you. So he called you, and much like Lazarus came out of that tomb from death to life, and then Jesus says, let him go. We've been set free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an incredible call. We've been called by God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to read a couple of verses here in 1 Corinthians 1. And this is just Paul telling the church at Corinth about how he was saved and called. Now, I will say just in being accurate in our Bible study, one reason why Paul does this in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, where he says called to be an apostle by the will of God, is because there was a lot of people, especially if you read the book of Acts, you know that when he went to Europe, when he's in Greece, these Jews followed him and would come behind him and tell people who got saved or tell people who believed in Christ and the gospel that there's more to it than what Paul is saying. And so a lot of times when Paul would write to these churches, he reminded them of his divine authority. Now, God calls me, God called me, God called you to salvation. And I want you to think about that. The God of heaven, go read the book of Genesis, and it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Everything God said came to pass. So when God in His sovereign mercy and grace determines to save you, once you hear the gospel, the Spirit of God works, and all the things are there, and God's going to save you, He saves you. He calls you to Himself. But not only does He save you, you are appointed. You now have a divine vocation. Paul would later say in 2 Corinthians, you are an ambassador for Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we spend our lives. Our new vocation is living for Christ. And being in the ministry, all of us are. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our response. Every one of us, as Lazarus, have been brought from death to life. We've been set free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now your conversion from the outside, you may have gotten saved when you were 8 or 9 or 10 or 12. You may have gotten saved when you were 15, 30, whatever. It may not be dramatic from an outward standpoint. You know, if you were 8 years old and raised in a Christian home and you come to Christ by faith and get saved, your lifestyle's not a lifestyle of rebellion. You're still a sinner. You still need to be saved through repentance and faith in Christ. Others, like myself, were a teenager and was a pagan, and you name it, I did it. And when God saved me, there was an outward transformation. You know, He changed how I talked and where I went and stuff I would drink and all that. God changed all that. But no matter what, wherever you are, there's been a spirit, however you were saved at whatever age, there's been a spiritual transformation. And you've been brought from death to life. And He has called you. He has called you. There's a divine call. And are we... are we listening to the call? Are we submitting to this divine call? I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, called by the will of God, just if you're like grammar, being called or the calling, called out, used, I mean, these are used dozens and dozens and dozens of times in the New Testament. You know, sometimes they appear as being called as a verb, many times more often as an adjective, whether it's an adjective to a noun. And then verbs, nouns, and adjectives, it appears in all kinds of forms of grammar all throughout the New Testament. It really does that because it covers all of life, whether what God has done for us and what we're doing because God has, what we're doing in response to what Christ has done. We act, you know, we're doing something about God saving us. So he says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God, I love this, to the church of God that is in Corinth. And as we read it today, even though we're separated by 2,000 years, this is the Word of God. We believe in the authority of the apostles, and that Christ promised to bring to their remembrance His Word, and they would pen His Word. So this is to the church of God that is at Redland Baptist. I mean, that's to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. We're called to be saints. The word saints is the same root word as the word sanctified, holy ones. We are called to be holy, His holy ones. Called to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 18. Folks, we are saints by calling. We are saints by calling. We're not just called the saints. We're the saints of God. We are saints by calling. It's not what we've done. It's what Christ has appointed. So when you and I got saved, He appointed us as saints. We are the saints of God. We are the holy ones. And of course, you know our holiness is only based upon the substitutionary death of Christ in His imputed righteousness. We get His history. He got our history and died for it. So we are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and we're called to be saints. Verse 18. So Paul wants to, he's going to emphasize the significance of salvation for those of us who believe. And I want you to listen to what he says to the Corinthians. If you study the city of Corinth, I mean, they were, appearance, education, were very important to them. They had a social standing was important. It was a wealthy city, and so where you came from and who you were and how you looked and whatever social status you had were very, very important to the Corinthians. They used that against Paul when these fake apostles came in behind him. They made fun of Paul because he was not tall with a deep voice, and he didn't dress great, and his nails weren't polished, and his hair wasn't done by a professional. But there were speakers. That's how they did it. They were professional performers when they would speak. But Paul was just there to preach the gospel. So listen to what he says. He says, For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, present tense, you know, you think about salvation is in three tenses, you know, past, present, and future, who are being saved. So I'm in the process and you are in the process of being saved. It doesn't mean we're going to lose it. Anyway, we can lose it, but we're in the process of being saved. We know that this salvation is permanent, but we're fleshing it out. We're walking the life of salvation in this world. Who are being saved, for those of us that are being saved, is the power of God. So the word of the cross is to those who are perishing, to lost people. It's folly, it's foolishness, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written. What he says in it says, For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Again, the context is very important. I mean, that was very important to the Corinthians. Very impressed with how people came across and their looks and their standing. And so he says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world that did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Now, folks, there's a lot you may or may not remember from this morning. One thing I want you to remember is you're called. Just as Paul received a call, Lazarus received a call, the disciples received a call, you have been called. But there's something else I want you to remember. that people get saved only through the gospel of Christ. You see that? Through the gospel, the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For 2,000 years, we've been called to share the gospel, trust the power of God, and we leave the fruits to the Lord Jesus. We sow the seeds, He brings the harvest. But when we sow, we have to sow the gospel. We sow the gospel of Christ, Christ crucified, His imputed righteousness, Him bearing our sins on the cross. We preach the gospel. God, that's how God saves people. You know, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's true whether you're getting saved or whether you're growing in the faith. You have to hear the Word of God. The foolishness... I'm sorry. But we preach, it says, God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A lot of things we can talk about and discuss and teach and share with people. Folks, if we go do missions in another country and we don't talk about Jesus Christ, we are liars and hypocrites. That is what we're called to do. And if we're not willing to do it here, we shouldn't be going there. For Jews demand a sign and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called. To those who are called, are you one of those that has been called through the gospel by the power of the Spirit? To those of us who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Folks, there's nothing better that we can talk about as those that have been called out than talk about Jesus and talk about Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ resurrection, and Christ ascended. It's about, everything's about Christ. That's what we've been called to preach and teach. And he says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I am taking most of my time reading this, but I want you to see what he says in beginning at verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. That's the subject, your calling. That identifies you. Consider it. Consider your calling, brothers. Let's consider it for a second. Have you been called and saved? Have you been called by the gospel and the Holy Spirit? Has He called and saved you and now called you into the ministry? Because it all happens at the same time. You are, all through the New Testament, Paul calls it the called of Jesus Christ. The called of Jesus Christ. Are you the called of Jesus Christ? Saved, born again, but serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The called. The called out ones. Isn't it interesting that the word church means called out assembly? And then every person that makes up a local church has been called, or the called out ones. He's called every one of us. He says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Do you see who's in control of salvation? Who is it? You or God? That's right. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, because of God's salvation, because God chose you, that's it reads, and because of Him, because of the Father's choosing, you are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? So when God called you to salvation, it was His divine priority to place you in, that's how He saved you. He put you in Christ history because of Him. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Those, verse 24, those who are, but to those who are called. But to those who are called. Hold your finger here at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And go to Philippians real quick. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Take a right past 2 Corinthians and you'll come Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Philippians 3:14. By the way, we understand that this is a divine call. That's one thing I want to prove to you this morning, is that, you know, you and I, when I was 16 years old, I didn't wake up one day and in my own volition and in my own goodness and spiritual insight, did I on my own say, Jesus, You're exactly who the Bible says You are, and I'm going to surrender my will to You because of Your sacrificial death for me. No, I did not do that on my own. The gospel preached and the Spirit of God working called me and saved me. And when God called me and saved me, the Bible says He chose me, He chose me, He chose me, and then He called me. He chose and called me. Every one of us that claim to know Christ, God has chose. And because He chose me, because of Him, you are in Christ, who's become for us everything. Sanctification, redemption, salvation. He's everything to us. But in Philippians 3:14, He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You understand, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We might say it's a high calling. We, much like the Jews when they were going to worship, we're always going up. Jerusalem was up on a hill, and so no matter where you were traveling, if you were up north headed south, you still were going up. Everything. So for us, it's a high calling. So, called. It says, I press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But I went to Philippians 3 because I want you to see verse 17. And whether we're talking about the Apostle Paul, or whether we're talking about Lazarus, or whether we're talking about the disciples, John the Apostle, Peter, anybody that we're talking about from the Bible that has also been called, their lives are not the exception. They're the rule. And what do I mean by that? Well, did God call Paul? Yes, we read about it. Did God call Peter? Yes, we read about it. Did God call James and John and Matthew? Yes, we read about it. God called them. That call is not an exception. That particular call is the standard. That's how He calls you. That's how He calls me. Did the call of God on Paul change his life? Did it? Does God's call upon your life change your life? Yes. Did the call of God upon Paul or Peter kind of motivate them to share the gospel of Christ to others? Yes. Our calling, through the power of the Spirit and the work of Christ in us, He becomes to us everything, and we're willing to share the truth of the gospel with others. Since we got our Bibles open, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Folks, not only is this calling a high, you know, we talk about it, a high calling, this upward call of God in Christ Jesus, but look what Paul says in Ephesians 1. Look at verse, pick up at verse 15. He says, for this reason, Ephesians 1, 15, for this reason, oh man, I forgot to give that cross, I'm sorry. Hold your thoughts there. I'm going to send you back. I missed a verse, but I'm in. Stay in Ephesians. Ephesians 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. Let me go back and read that again. Having the eyes, this is what Paul's prayer is for the saints, for you and me. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. He has called you. It's His calling. It's not something you planned. It's God's divine work. It's His calling. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. Now go, I'm sorry, I missed. Go to Philippians 3 again. Let me show you this. When I was talking about our call being, and what, how God did it and we read about it in the Bible, we read about these men and women being saved, that's not the exception, it's the rule. So what Paul's going to argue, and Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter, what God did in Paul when He called him to salvation and called him into the ministry, so to speak, when God did that, that's a standard for what God's going to do from whoever He saves. No matter who He saves, He not only calls and chooses them and calls them to salvation, but everybody He saves, He also calls into the ministry. It's the upward call. We have this high calling, this holy calling, because it's His calling. Verse 17 says this. He says, brothers, join in imitating me, not irritating me, imitating me. That's the word mimic. I love that word. Join in mimicking me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Folks, yes, Paul was a hero of our faith. But Paul's not the exception. He's the example. When God saved Paul, the same power that saved Paul is this, or when he called Lazarus from the tomb, the same power that brought death to life to Lazarus is the same power that spiritually brings death to life to you. People should be able to recognize those that are saved. Who are the called out ones? Whether you're talking about the individual saint, the believer that's living out in the world, or you're talking about the church, the called out assembly. People should know that we have been saved and called by Jesus Christ. I'm over time, but I'm enjoying being here. Amen. I've been brewing and stewing over this for 2 weeks, let me just finish with this. Let's talk about that call real quick, and we'll come back to this next Sunday. But go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. So you'll go back, and obviously you know where 2 Corinthians is. 2 Corinthians 5. He describes to us, this is a passage, it does talk about our salvation, but it's talking about our calling. What are we supposed to be doing with this call? When we were as stewards, we're called, we worship and we serve. We worship and we serve. We're all servants. We're called to serve. So we're all servants in the body. We all are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're slaves and servants to Christ. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and again, I'll be brief. We'll come back to this next Sunday. I know I'm over. Verse 16. Well, look at verse 14. I'm sorry. I'll pick up at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Not my love for Jesus, but His love for me. Okay? Controls us, hedges us in, makes us myopic, so to speak. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. That just makes the potential is for anybody, anywhere can be saved. It's not just Jews anymore. Anybody, anywhere, whoever's out there could hear the gospel, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who, for their sake, died and was raised. So, obviously, we're called to live for Christ. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Do you see that? We talked about the call. He chose us. What it says about this new creation? All this is from God. Who, through Christ, reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Folks, it's God's will that sinners be reconciled to Himself. It's God's will that you and I that have been reconciled to Christ or have been reconciled to the Father through the Son, it is His will and His call upon our lives that we have the ministry of reconciliation. And look what He says we do. He gave us. He reconciled us to Himself, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then He tells us what that is. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So we proclaim, that's the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ, in salvation, the Father forgives you of your sins. He gave us the ministry of, He reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's our calling. That's our appointment. As ambassadors of Christ, we've been given this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And here's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteous of God. So God made Christ sin. He didn't become a sinner. He treated Him like a sinner. So Christ was treated like He was me and every other person that God's going to save. And He was punished. So God made Him who knew no sin to be sin, so that His righteousness could be imputed to me and my sin could be imputed to Him. That's how God can call you to Himself and save you by His grace. And that's why our call in the Christian life is be ministers of reconciliation. Or we are, in bold statement, we are ambassadors for Christ. As if God were begging through us to others, be reconciled, come to Christ. So our calling is to bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our calling. Called to save and called to serve Christ Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed, listen to this verse. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To this He has called you through the gospel, that you may obtain the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, thank You for a holy calling. Thank You for a high calling. Lord, thank You that it's a sovereign call, that it's Your call. Not only, Lord, to save us, not only to impute what Christ did to our record, but You go beyond that and You call us to live for Jesus in a world of darkness. Father, thank You that all of us that have been born again, we really have been called to be saints. Lord, thank You for the call. In Jesus' name, amen.